It's working. All right, yeah, on the ball. Let me see, I'm looking here. Preacher always likes to survey his crowd and see who he's preaching at. I don't see any gentleman here that has a coat on except me, so I'm taking mine off. I feel at home, amen. Amen, amen. I got to ask Brother Kevin, you had those announcements up there, the calendar and the stuff that's going to be happening here. And I don't know where those announcements went, but I got to ask you. I'm new. I'm the new guy on the block. I don't know. You had an announcement up there for a noisy bucket. What is a noisy bucket? Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. You don't want dollar bills in that. You want noisier the better. Amen. All right, that's good. Well, that's great. I'm glad that's what the noisy bucket is. It's an offering of money. Amen. Yeah, that's good. Well, praise the Lord. I hope that you have a overflowing buckets. Amen for that thing. That's really great. Amen. Well, it's good to be back with you. I was here a few weeks ago and enjoyed myself. And Brother Storm was in the hospital at that time. And then now the Lord's in, God's got him in heaven. Amen. And so I appreciate his testimony. I appreciate how the Lord has used him here over the last 20 years in this great church and establishing it. And for all you folks that are here, this one gentleman from Utah, I believe, just came in and he said, "What's your name?" And I said, "My name is Al." And he said, "I'm preaching here today." He says, "Well, where's Brother Storm?" I said, "He's in heaven." And I don't know if he was disappointed or not, but I hope he was. But anyway, God has got great things in store for this church. You know, I think about that. Having a good foundation is good. The Bible talks about having a good foundation because when the winds and the storm comes, and if you're built on the sand, you're going to be washed away. But if your house is built on a rock, and of course we know the Lord Jesus is the rock. Amen. So Brother Storm established a good foundation for this church, the Word of God. The church is not built on Brother Storm. Built on the rock, on the good foundation. So although he's gone, the church is still here and going forward for the Lord Jesus. I'm going to be praying for you folks that God will continue to bless your efforts as you seek to go forward for the Lord. That's kind of what I want to preach to you about this morning. In the Sunday school hour, I talked about encouraging yourself in the Lord. When you don't have anybody else to encourage you, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. And I want you to take your Bible this morning, and I'm going to preach along the same lines from Joshua chapter 1. I think they got the text in there. Yeah, Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 there. And if you have your Bible, I hope you have your Bible, and we're going to look at some verses here this morning. But most of the message will come from Joshua chapter 1 and the first two verses. Joshua chapter 1. And if you find it there, and we'll look at verse number 1 and 2. Actually, this is a great passage of Scripture. Let's go ahead and we'll just read down to verse 9. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. But I'm going to concentrate basically on the first two verses. Chapter 1, verse 1. "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Now, that's a pretty large area when you look on a map. From Lebanon down to the river, over to the river Euphrates. Now, the river Euphrates is in Iran. That's a eastern border, the river Euphrates. And then it says the land of the Hittites under the Great Sea. The Great Sea going down to the sun, that would be the Mediterranean Sea. So that's a very wide area of land that God had promised to give to Israel. I don't think but one man ever really conquered all that land, and that was David. But never fear, God's going to give all that land. They're fighting about that land right now. And you know why the Muslims are fighting for it, because a lot of that land they say is ours, but really God gave it to Israel. Now, verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Now watch it. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. We talked about being encouraged in the morning message. To be encouraged is to be strengthened, to instill courage. Be of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong. He repeats it again. He said it in verse 6. He's saying it again. Be thou strong and very courageous. Talking about that courage again. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shall I make thy way prosperous. He's talking about this prosperity. See, prosperity and prospering of the Lord comes from this book. You're not going to prosper outside of this book. Oh, you might prosper as the way the world looks at it, but as far as God's prosperity is concerned, there's no prosperity outside the covers of this book. So he says, make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good. What's the next word? The last word in verse 8. What's the word? Underline that. Put a ring around it. Circle it. Underline it. You know why that word is so important? Because in all the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, the only time you find the word success is right here. It only shows up one time in your Bible, and it's in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. So if you want to be successful, you better get Joshua chapter 1 down. Because there is no success apart from Joshua chapter 1. I want to read that verse again, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer, to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong. Boy, that's the third time he's mentioned being strong. Amen. Be strong. And of what? Good what? Talking about that again. It's the third time he's mentioned that. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now let's pray. Father, I pray you'll add your blessing upon the reading of your word. Lord, I do not know what you have planned for Florence Baptist Church. I do know this, that you're not done with them. And you have great things in store for them, Lord. And I pray that they'll be ready to receive the blessings that you have in store. So, Lord, I pray that you'll encourage us this morning from this passage. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1 says, now after the death of Moses. Moses had led the children of Israel for many years through the wilderness, but now he's dead. Verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses is dead. Why Moses? I mean, there's 2 million people there. Why did Moses have to die? I mean, why not some lesser man? I mean, Moses was worth a dozen men. Moses was worth 100 men. Moses was worth more than 1,000 men. I mean, look at Moses. He confronts, boldly goes before Pharaoh and confronts Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." Now, who's going to do that? Moses did. He led Israel across the Red Sea on dry ground. Now, who's going to do that? I mean, they come to the Red Sea and they got Pharaoh's army behind them and a mountain on either side and they got the Red Sea in front. I mean, who's going to say, "Okay, let's go forward"? Well, Moses did, amen. And God parted the sea and Israel crossed over on dry ground. I mean, when they got thirsty, what did he do? He spoke to the rock. And he smote the rock and it gave forth water to take care of the people that are thirsty. When they came across to the armies of Amalek, and Amalek wanted to kill them, Moses got on the mountain and he raised his hands with the rod of God in his hands, and the people prospered, and they won the battle. As Moses raised his hands, and when his hands got tired and lowered down, then Amalek got strong. So as long as he kept his hands up, Amalek was defeated, and God gave a great victory because of the uplifted hands of Moses. Amen. I mean, Moses was everything to Israel. He was a great leader. A matter of fact, I don't know of a greater leader that's ever lived outside of maybe the Lord Jesus Christ than Moses. He was a great leader. You'd have to be a great leader to lead over 2 million people. I'm talking about 2 million people through the wilderness, complaining, murmuring, wandering through the wilderness for 40 years, and Moses led them, and they led them right up to the Jordan River. Amen. I mean, you have to be a great leader to do that. I couldn't do it. I don't think any of you could do it. But God gave Moses the grace to do that. And now, listen. Now, this great leader who's led Israel through the wilderness for 40 years, now Moses is dead. Now, after the death of Moses, verse 1. Verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Now, I never met Pastor Dale Storm. I talked to him on the phone a couple of times. But I know he was a great pastor. A great pastor. And he was loved by many. And God used him to establish this church over 20 years ago. He faithfully stood by the stuff and God blessed his labors. He was a hard worker. You don't establish a church like this by being lazy. He was a hard worker and had his hands in many different ministries. But we read over in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, "Blessed are they that die in the Lord." Blessed are they that die in the Lord. "From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." Right now, Brother Storm's job is over. He's in heaven and he's resting. Amen. He's resting from all his labors. You know, you need to realize, church, that God ain't going to take you home until he's done with you. I mean, the work might never get done, but you might be done. I'm almost 73 years old. Brother Storm was 66. But age doesn't count. God don't look at a person's age. He looks, okay, I'm going to use you, I'm going to use you, I'm going to use you. And when I'm done with you, I'm taking you home. Now, every one of you here are breathing. At least I think some of you are breathing. Maybe I have to poke somebody to make sure they're still breathing. I think you're breathing. I think your heart's beating. And if your heart is beating and you're breathing, I got good news for you. God ain't done with you yet. God still has a job for you to do, and he's going to keep you here until he is done with you. And then you can go rest from your labors. So Pastor Storm has gone to heaven and he's resting. But Florence Baptist Church is still here. And you are still here with a job to do. God ain't through with you yet. God has a job for each and every one of us. And so what I want to do this morning is try to encourage you as a church with three truths that are found in our text this morning. I want to read those two verses again, verses 1 and 2. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead, semicolon. It ain't over. Moses is dead, but God's not done. Moses, my servant, is dead, semicolon. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Now, there's three great truths I want to establish from this text. And this is what I want to encourage you with. Number one, I want you to see the fact that is stated. The fact that is stated. What is the fact that is stated in verse number two? Moses is dead. That's a fact. They needed to face that. That is the fact. And by the way, if the Lord tarries, every one of us are going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen? So, I mean, until the Lord comes back, we're all going to die and face God in the judgment when God's done with you. And so Moses, I mean, as great as Moses was, he's a great man, probably the greatest man during that time period. And now, as great as he was, he still died. He still died. I mean, let me say three things about Moses just to kind of give you the picture here of who it is we're talking about. And I think, although, maybe let me draw a parallel between Moses and Pastor Storm here. I know Pastor Storm was no Moses, but he was like Moses in several respects. First of all, what did God call Moses in verse 1? He said, after the death of Moses, what?
The servant.
And then in verse number 2, what is Moses called? Servant. And I look down at verse number 7 and skip down about the middle of the verse. What is Moses called in verse 7? Servant. How about verse 13? Go down to verse 13. And what is Moses called in verse 13?
Servant.
And how about verse 15? What is Moses called in verse 15 down toward the end of the verse? The Lord's servant. Five times in this one chapter, God calls Moses his servant, my servant. And one of the reasons why Moses was such a great man was simply because he was a servant. What did Jesus say? Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 44, and whosoever will be the chiefest among you, let him be your servant. The path to greatness is through service. Amen. And I know Brother Storm was a great servant to this church. I mean, I was reading his obituary the other day, and I was blessed to see how many different ministries he was involved in and how he served this church faithfully. He was a servant unto all. Let me just read a few things that I read here. Pastor Storm was always active in the community. In his younger years, he served as a police officer, an EMT, and a firefighter. Well, amen, that's good area service. He started the Florence Food Bank. The Florence Food Bank. And I was reading one of your brochures that every year, the Florence Food Bank feeds 100,000 people a year. 100,000 people a year. That's a lot of people getting fed, amen. And God used Brother Storm in that area to help people who needed food, that needed something to eat, amen. See, that's what I'm talking about. He established the Florence Baptist Academy. I was talking to one of the teachers over there. We had about 20, 22, 23 students in there. And that continues to train our youth in excellence, so they can go on in their education. And within the ministries, Pastor Storm served as the head pastor, the food bank director, the youth director, the bus driver, and even taught the high school in the Christian school. I'd say that is a picture of a servant, amen. And just as Moses is called a servant five times, and that's why Moses was such a great man, because he was a servant. You're not going to amount to anything as far as God is concerned unless you're willing to pull up your sleeves and get busy serving the Lord, amen. As I pulled in this morning before the Sunday school hour, had Brother Tom over there. He's working out here, and he says, "You got to excuse my clothes." What's wrong with your clothes? You're dressed, aren't you? Amen. He had paint clothes on and all that stuff. And he says, "Well, I'm just trying to get things ready for church service. Filling the baptistry." Amen. That service. Nobody would probably even recognize that thing. But God did. Amen. So his servants do not go unnoticed. So Moses is called a servant. Another thing Moses is called. Now listen to this. Go back to Deuteronomy. Just back about two or three pages. Back to chapter 33. Just back about two pages to the left of Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 1. Watch this now. Deuteronomy 33, verse 1. "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses," underline it, "the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death." Moses, the man of God. Underline that. Do you know where the term man of God originated? That's Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 1. That's the first time you find the phrase man of God in your Bible. And who is called a man of God in Deuteronomy 33, 1? Moses. And God goes on five more times in the Bible and calls Moses the man of God, the man of God, the man of God, the man of God. You better be careful who you call a man of God nowadays. There's a lot of people that like to be called the man of God, but don't live like a man of God. Amen. But I know Pastor Storm, he lived up to the name man of God. You can call him a man of God because he lived it. Amen. He was a man of God. Another thing about Moses is he was a prayer warrior. He was an intercessor. Moses interceded for Israel time and time and time again. One time God was ready to wipe out Israel. They're murmuring, they're complaining, and God says, "I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to start all over with you, Moses. I'm going to make of you a good nation." Now, you know what Moses could have done? He goes, "Okay, Lord, here I am. Use me." But you know what he did? He got on his knees and he interceded for those people. That's why he's called the meekest man in the earth. He interceded, he prayed for the people, and God spared them. Amen. I tell you, Israel owes their existence to Moses. God would have wiped them all out. He was a prayer warrior. He was an intercessor. He prayed for people. And although I never met Pastor Storm, I know this. He loved people and he prayed for them. He prayed for you, the church. He prayed for you. And that's why he was loved by so many people. So he was like Moses in many ways. And Moses, he was God's mouthpiece. God says that he spoke to Moses like face to face. He doesn't say that about anybody else. Spoke with God face to face. Now you're going to find this statement 100 times in the book of Exodus, the book of Numbers, the book of Leviticus, and the book of Deuteronomy. Those four books, you're going to find this statement over 100 times. What is that statement? The Lord spake unto Moses. The Lord spake. I'm not going to take you through all 100 times. But let me just give you a smattering just to show you, kind of get to give you the drift of how God communicated with Moses, how Moses communicated. Go back to Exodus chapter 6. Back to the left nearby. We would be here all day looking at all of them. But let me just show you what I'm talking about here. Exodus 6, verse 2. Got it? Exodus 6, 2. That's back to the left in your Bible. All right, Exodus 6, 2. "And God spake," what? Underline that. God spake unto Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. Now go look down to verse number 10. And the Lord spake what? Unto Moses. Amen. Go to chapter 7, just over one page, chapter 7, verse 16. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee. Let my people go. Let's see. Where is that reference? Am I the right reference? Was it 14? Oh, verse 8. Okay, yeah. And the Lord spake unto Moses. I'm sorry. I had the wrong reference. Verse 8. Go to chapter 12, verse 1. 12:1. Exodus 12:1. Exodus 12:1. And the Lord spake unto who? Moses. How about chapter 13, verse 1? Just over a page. Chapter 13, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto who? Moses. How about chapter 14, verse 1? And the Lord spake unto who? Moses. How about chapter 25, verse 1? 25, verse 1. Exodus 25, 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, how about chapter 30, verse 11? And the Lord spake unto Moses. How about it? Amen? How about 31:1? 31:1. And the Lord spake unto Moses. You get the idea. The Lord spake unto Moses. The Lord spake unto Moses. Over 100 times you find this statement, the Lord spake unto Moses. Well, wait a minute. Now go back to our text in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, Moses is gone, Moses is dead. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto what? Joshua. The Lord spake unto Joshua. Just because Moses is dead doesn't mean that God lost his voice. Just because Moses is gone, that doesn't mean that God has nothing more to say. Amen. God spake even after the death of Moses. And I know anybody here that's heard Pastor Storm preach would say that is God speaking through his sermons. That is God speaking to me through his sermons. You need to understand that although Pastor Storm's preaching days are over, he's resting from his laborers in heaven. But God ain't done. God is still speaking, amen. God still has something to say. God's still speaking, and that's what we need. We need to realize that God does not go hoarse. God does not have laryngitis. God does not lose his voice just because the man of God has passed off the scene. After the death of every man of God, God still abides and God still speaks. I'm glad for that. Some of my heroes, Dr. Tom Malone, Dr. John R. Rice, some of the great preachers of days gone by, D.L. Moody, God spoke through those men. But those men are all in heaven. Does that mean God is done talking? No, God still has something to say to us today through the man of God who is preaching today, amen, as long as we have an ear to listen to him. So the first thing I want you to see is the fact. The fact is Moses is gone. Moses is dead. Moses is in heaven. That is a fact. But the second thing that will encourage you is the forward command. Not the fact that is stated, but the forward command. Go back to our text here in Joshua chapter 1. Look at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. That's a fact. But now, what's the next word? Now, therefore. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. That's the command to go forward. Not go backward. Not stand still. Amen. God still has a job that needs to get done even though the leader is gone. God says, all right, now I want you to arise. Get up. The word arise implies that the children of Israel were downhearted. They were discouraged. Go back to, just turn back one page to Deuteronomy chapter 34. Look at verse 8. 34:8. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. So here are the children of Israel. They're weeping. They're crying. They're brooding over the death of Moses for 30 days. Now they tell me, psychologists say that, you know, there is a grieving process, a mourning process. When you lose a loved one, you know, there's a process that goes by. You mourn for them. Sometimes that thing gets extended out and out and out and longer than it should be. I know there's one dear lady that's a member of Canyon Springs Baptist Church where I'm a member of there in Apache Junction, Brother Wirtz's church. And this dear lady, her husband died. Her husband died months and months and months ago. And she's still grieving over the death of her husband. Matter of fact, she was ready to commit suicide. She said, if my husband's gone, there's nothing for me to live for. I'm going to kill myself so I can be with my husband. I mean, she was not even saved. She got saved eventually. And my wife and I went and led her to Christ. But she still grieved and grieved and grieved. But dear friend, there has to come a point where the grieving is over. Now with Moses, it was 30 days. I mean, these people knew Moses for 40 years. Now he's gone. And they wept and they cried and they mourned his death for 30 days. But just because Moses is dead doesn't mean that God has nothing more to say. He says, okay, Moses, my servant, is dead. That's the fact. Now, therefore, the mourning is over. The grieving is over. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan. Get up. Quit dragging your heels. It's time for you to get up and face the fact. Moses is dead, and you got to acknowledge that. Yeah, Pastor Storm is gone. He's dead. But he says the mourning should not be extended. There comes a time when you don't despair anymore. You're no longer depressed. You need to move on for the Lord. Look at the text again. Moses, my servant, is dead. Semicolon. Now watch this. Now, therefore, what? Arise, amen. Go forward. It's time for you to march. It's time to arise and go forward into the land that I've promised. I don't want you to stay here. I've got a land over here. I want you to move ahead and I want you to move forward, amen. God's work goes on even when God's man is gone. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. I love, take your Bible, keep your place here in Joshua chapter 1. We're going to come back there in a minute. But go over to Isaiah. There's a great text. Some of you read over this text and you miss it. But there's a great truth here in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Now watch this very carefully. Isaiah 6, verse 1. You got it? If you don't, mark it down, look at it. I'm going to read it to you. Here it is. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died. In the year that King Uzziah was the last good king that Judah ever had. He was the last good king. All their hope for revival was pinned on this good king, Uzziah. But now he's dead. He's gone. It looked like a hopeless situation to Israel. Their one good king is now dead. But now watch what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also, put a ring around the word also. See, that's not the only thing that Isaiah realized. Yeah, Uzziah is dead, but guess what? I saw the Lord and he's still on the throne, amen. The earthly king is gone, but the heavenly king is still on the throne, amen. And I want to tell you, church, God is still on the throne today. He didn't leave the throne when Pastor Storm passed off the scene. He didn't. It says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So you've got to realize that God ain't not, he's still on the throne. I like to go over in Jeremiah. You read about Jeremiah and all the desolation that came upon Judah when the Babylonians came down and took him into captivity. And Jeremiah saw all that. And it grieved him. It didn't ought to. But he writes the book of Lamentations. There's only five chapters in the book of Lamentations. You ought to read that. Lamentations was written, and it was Jeremiah lamenting all the desolation that he saw there in the city of Jerusalem when Jerusalem was taken captive. But I love the way the Lamentations ends in chapter 5, verse 19. And this is how he sums it all up. After telling all this desolation and all the trials and everything that Jerusalem went through, Jeremiah says this. Listen now. Thou, O Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation. Did you get that? He just took five chapters talking about how bad things looked in Jerusalem and how the devastation that took there. And he said, but O Lord, thou remainest. Jerusalem is gone. The people are taken captive into battle. But Lord, you're still here. You remain and your throne from generation to generation. Amen. See, that's what you need to realize here. God is still on the throne. Moses, yeah, he's dead. But the God of Moses is still alive. Moses is gone. But the work goes on. I like what John Wesley said. This is what he said. I love this quote. John Wesley said, quote, God buries his workmen, but the work goes on, but he goes on with his work. God buries his workmen and goes on with his work. Because God is the worker. Amen. No man is indispensable. Nobody. You're not indispensable. Hey, guess what? I'm not indispensable. Pastor Storm is not indispensable. We're all expendable. We're all expendable. God could take any one of us home at a moment's notice. But his work goes on without us. Amen. God alone is essential. God alone is indispensable. You can't do without God. Now, Moses had a great desire. And his great desire was that he would bring Israel into the promised land. That's what he lived for. But God said, no. No, I'm going to take Israel into the promised land. It's the land I gave him. But you ain't going, Moses. I'm going to put you on Mount Nebo and you can look and you can see the land, but you ain't going in. He died before his desire could be accomplished. And although many of the dreams and desires of Pastor Storm are left unfulfilled, I'm sure he had great dreams, great plans for this church. But they're left unfulfilled. It's the job of Florence Baptist Church to continue the work that God used Pastor Storm to begin and keep going. Amen. So we see the fact is stated. Moses, my servant, is dead. So we see the forward command. Moses is gone, but I still got a job for you. You need to move forward. You need to arise and go. Go into the land that I've promised. And then finally, notice a firm promise. God gives these people a firm promise. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. Look down to verse number 5. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. He's talking about the Joshua here. As I was with Moses, and God was with Moses, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I'll not fail you, and I'll not forsake you. What a promise, amen. See, the leadership changes. They got a new leader. Moses is gone, but now Joshua is going to lead. You see, the leadership changes. Moses is gone, now Joshua is going to be raised up to be the new leader. The leadership changes, but God doesn't change. His promise still is the same. I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you. And guess what? When Jesus went back to heaven, he gave us the same promise. Lo, I am with you always. Even unto the end of the world, I am with you. Amen. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that the promise that God's given to every one of us? Amen. So we just need to go on and take God at his word. I got another man, Joshua. Now, that doesn't mean that God was going to make Joshua into a second Moses. Joshua had his own personality. Joshua was not like Moses. And Joshua didn't try to be like Moses. It would be a big mistake. It would be a big mistake whoever succeeds Pastor Storm tries to be like Pastor Storm. That'd be a big mistake. I remember, I'm going to come back to this in a minute, but one of my good friends who pastored the Open Door Baptist Church in Linwood, Washington, is Pastor Blue, Ken Blue. And he came down with ALS, and he died. He pastored that church for 38 years, and the new pastor, Jason Murphy, came on the scene. And somebody said to Jason Murphy, he said, Jason, you got some awful big shoes to fill. And I love what Brother Murphy said. No, I got my own shoes. I'm not trying to fill Pastor Blue's shoes. Nobody could fill his shoes. I got my own shoes I got to walk in. And amen, that's what you realize. Joshua, yeah, God had Joshua waiting, and he's going to make Joshua the new leader, but Joshua's not going to be like Moses. And Joshua didn't even try to be like Moses. Moses could do 1,000 things that Joshua couldn't do, but guess what? Joshua could also do things that Moses couldn't do. Amen? Joshua would do his own work with the strength that God gave him. Let me go back to that illustration there about Pastor Blue. Pastor Blue was a good friend of mine. And church was doing great. The attendance was doing wonderful, and people were getting saved. And then Moses came down with ALS and he died. And then Pastor Murphy, Jason Murphy, came on the scene. Jason Murphy was a younger guy. But you know what God did? Jason Murphy was his own. He worked for Pastor Blue for 5 years. He was his assistant, just like Joshua was Moses' assistant. But Jason Murphy, he did things that Pastor Blue could never do. Pastor Blue was like me, a dinosaur, old school. Jason Murphy was a young guy. He had new ideas. Oh, the doctrine's the same. Still preach the same doctrine, the same book. But he went about ministry in a little bit different way than Pastor Blue did. He didn't try to be like Pastor Blue. He did his own man. And guess what? That church has doubled in size. Open Door Baptist Church has doubled in size since Pastor Blue was there under Jason Murphy's ministry. So I'm telling you, God ain't done with you yet. God has a man for you ready to step in, and he's not going to be another Brother Storm. You shouldn't even expect him to be like Brother Storm. You only should expect him to be a man of God that preaches the Word of God. Amen. So don't despair. Just keep the faith. Keep winning souls. Keep praying. Keep being faithful to what God has called you to do. Let me close with this. You're all familiar with Jesus. God sent his son into this world 2,000 years ago to make a way for us to be saved. He died on Calvary's cross for your sins. Now, what were his disciples, what was his followers doing when Jesus was being tried by Pontius Pilate and tried by Caiaphas the high priest? What were his disciples? They were running for cover. They were hiding. Peter followed afar off. He's warming his hands by a fire with the enemies of Christ. all forsook him. Even when Jesus was on the cross, even his heavenly Father forsook him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was alone on Calvary as he bore your sins and my sins. And when he died and gave up the ghost, they took his body off the cross and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. What are the disciples doing? Peter's ready to go back fishing. I'm going back to business. I'm going to go fishing. Oh, we go with you. They all went. Everyone went his own way. Matter of fact, you have two Emmaus disciples. They're walking along the road and Jesus appears to them, but they didn't recognize it was Jesus. And they said, we trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. We thought that he was the guy. We thought he was the Messiah. But he's dead. He's gone. But Jesus was not gone. He arose from the dead and he made a way for us to go to heaven if we just trust him. Amen. So 50 days later, Jesus goes to the Mount of Olives and he ascends back to heaven. And two angels see him go up. He's gone. He is gone. But before he left, listen to me. Before he left, he said, now listen, I'm going away. I'm coming again, but I'm going away. While I'm gone, I've got a job for you. I'm going to give you the Holy Ghost. And you're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Judea, and under the uttermost part of the earth. So although I'm gone, I'm sending you the Comforter. He's going to be with you. Keep going. Keep going. Because I'm with you. And I'll not forsake you. And I'll not leave you. That's God's message to us today. The leader's gone. What's God say to you? Now, arise. Get up. The morning is over. Get up and go forward with God's plan. And you watch what God's going to do with this church. Let's bow in prayer. Let's bow, please, eyes closed. No one looking around. I don't know how Pastor Storm did an invitation, but here's what I'm going to do. First of all, I want to ask a question. I know we have some folks that have been saved, and they're going to get baptized this morning. So if you're coming, if you're going to get baptized, I'd like you to come right now and go back into the area and get ready for baptism. Neil family, God bless you, amen. Come on back here to this door. Somebody will be there to help you. I think Brother Tom might help you there. Now the rest of you. Tom, okay. Now let me ask the rest of you. Are you saved? If you died right now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? How many would say with an uplifted hand right now, Pastor Hughes, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I'm not saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Anybody? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be. God bless you, sir. I see that hand. Yes, amen. Amen. Anyone else? I saw one hand go up. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm going to pray for this one that raised their hand for salvation. I wonder if God spoke to some of you this morning. You're maybe depressed. You're a little bit discouraged. But you know, God ain't done with you yet. Maybe God wants you just to come to this altar and say, Lord, I'm going to rededicate myself to serve you. No matter what happens, I'm just going to go forward for the Lord and do whatever you tell me to do. Maybe that's you. If there's someone like that, raise your hand right now. Let me pray for you. Yes, Pastor, God spoke to me. God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. I saw about four or five hands. Anybody else? All right, I'm going to pray. First of all, I want to pray for that one gentleman that raised their hand, not sure they're saved. And sir, if you look up at me just for a minute. Okay. I'm going to say a prayer, and I want you to repeat this prayer after me, okay? Just in your heart. Just pray. You don't have to pray it out loud, okay? So bow your head. Father, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need to be saved. I believe Jesus died for me and rose again and wants to save me. So I trust you, Jesus, as my Lord and my Savior. I open my heart and invite you in. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my heart and saving my soul. Amen. Now keep your heads bowed. Sir, did you just pray that prayer, man? Did you? God bless you, sir. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to ask Carol to play something soft on the piano.